Roberta Hatcher teaches French at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. She was a 2009 finalist for the Patricia Dobler Poetry Award, and her poetry has appeared in Comstock Review, Yop, and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. She's been a guest on WIEP's Prosody and was a featured reader in a session devoted to border crossing poetry at the 2010 Northeast Modern Language Association Conference in Montreal. She's working away at a poetry manuscript titled Boundary Waters, and it is a great pleasure to introduce Roberta Hatcher.
Hi, everybody. Actually, I'm right now in a poetry manuscript workshop with Joan and among other people, so that title, Boundary Waters, might change by the time they're all done with me. I want to start. Actually, I hadn't planned that this would fit so well with tonight's introduction, but I'm going to start with a few political poems. The first one is called Thank You for Crawling. Thank you for crawling. Your fall is unimportant to us. Due to the unusually heavy volume of newly transferred wealth, we are experiencing significant delight. Stay in line, and one of our agents will deal with you curtly. Your request will be manhandled in the disorder we've unleashed. In order for us to better unnerve you in the future, this collapse may be monitored for taming purposes. To expedite your falter, you may choose from the following rejections. Please pay attention, as obligations have changed. Para Español, leave this country. Go home. To review your account decimation, enter 401k. To report a lost or stolen future, hang up and try again later. If you would like to make a payment, press 0. Our fast operators are standing by to assail you. Please have your carte blanche ready. To speak with a representative, a large contribution is required. Press Fortune 500. To return to the pain menu, stay online. Get hung up. Roll for 7 and wish upon a star. That poem was published a year ago last April in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And I was just looking for a way to somehow respond to what was going on. And I read here last June and completely forgot to read it. I was caught up in something else and just forgot. And I remember Jan Beatty saying, don't worry, it'll still be good next year. And I'm sorry to say that's true. So this next poem was also written more years ago than I thought it would still be good for. It was written in 2006, I think. And this was, there was so much more than the war going on. The immediate context was, does everyone remember James Frey and the million little pieces that turned out to be true, not true, you know, this whole big debate. And around that time, I had read William Carlos Williams' poem, The Sun, which seemed to be saying something about modern poetry and knowledge. So this is called The Sum. The sum of our sins, a million brittle fleeces fall through the holy silence. Truth, holier still, plenty of doom to maneuver. Faulty memory, a sea of smelly lace. Have we floated far enough beyond knowledge? Obscene refusals shared this postmodern shore, stinking to high heaven. It's the deep trough that counts, Oprah Umpaz, while the man in the fray is counting. 18 parts fiction to 448 invention yields an acceptable 5% margin. Just ask poor Richard with his gappy-toothed jakes what a lapse of 18 can net you. But this is how we glib now. old story lamps slacken, grab a story doctor, bring on W's MDs, it's freedom of bone that daunts, while down, down, in our unclothed dislocation, the king is in his counting house, something smelling funny. I left 18% of my 172 body parts on some margin of error near Tikrit. All of my sleep, plus a little bit of tibia. The sand is not done drying. While my memoryless countrymen lie in the sun glistening, bent again and again to the penny dreadful nothingness that envelops their gleam without a sound. Okay, still on politics, but maybe a little lighter. This is called Citizen Without Portfolio. I vote every 2 years, even if moving down the ballot, I admit to knowing nothing about the candidate for sheriff. I write a letter to my representative, but not too often. I have to save my moral outrage for when they've really gone too far. Electronic surveillance of citizens, bailout of Citigroup with no conditions in return, forbidding the raising of chickens within city limits. I add my little voice to the hum.
Nice. I covered up my watch. Yeah, all right. Okay, this is also an old poem. It was written in 1992. And just published this year. And not because it's been rejected all along. I hesitated to send it out because it feels kind of static to me now. There's also a reference to Iraq in here, but it's so old that it was before the first, 92. It was while the food for, what did they call that? Food for oil, you know, when we were keeping medical supplies and all this stuff from entering the country. But it's not really, well, okay. This is called Household : Object Lesson. And it opens with an epigraph from Virginia Woolf. This is from the last entry in her first published diary. And now, with some pleasure, I find that it's 7 and must cook dinner. Haddock and sausage meat. I think it's true that one gains a certain hold on sausage and haddock by writing them down. Okay. Window. Warm days I lean out. I don't even mind the dust on my white sleeve elbow. Books. I no longer touch them. They lean for company, strain to hold each other up. Pillow. It bears the trace of every head laid down on it, texture with no discernible pattern. Quilt. From my own body comes this captured heat, multiplied 100-fold. Countertop. We cook, we eat, we do the dishes. Sometimes we just cook and eat. Poinsettia. Something about blooming in darkened rooms. Passion erupts on my tabletop. Calendar. Despite the new year, now 2 weeks old, I am reluctant to turn it over. Newspaper. 200,000 dead in Iraq, the work of my country's government. I slowly fold the paper for recycling. Furniture. How sweet the memory of walking down roads, not knowing where the future lay. Door, then stairway, then below the street. We go out so far, we return. Okay, well, while we're on lessons, sit up straight, kids. This is a French lesson. This is called French Lesson Number 3. Time signature. 1. Le présent. The present is tense. 2. Le passé composé. The past compounds our problems.
Completed actions require an auxiliary. Who doesn't need help when putting together the past? Whose memory couldn't use an assist? To be, without object, in transit between birth and death, to rise, to fall, to stay or leave, or to have direction, an objective, having, always taking objects, directly or by other means. Choose one of these to help you. 3. L'imparfait. Memory is imperfect, as we all know. Whether the day was yellow or red, however vivid in your mind's eye, imperfect. The streets of your childhood, the air in that house, diffuse like fog. The list of imperfections is long. Emotional states, static conditions, we didn't know, we couldn't have foreseen, repeated behaviors, and we would again and again, imperfect. Actions interrupted, secondary players hovering in the background. What were you doing when? Name your cohorts, disaster here, JFK, MLK, Challenger, Columbine, Twin Towers, Katrina. What were we all doing when Wall Street pulled the trigger? 4. Le plus que parfait. Ah, but to have had more than perfect before the past that was. Not done. 4 or 5, I'm lost in the future. Le futur proche. The future is near. I am going to go. Merci. Voilà. There will be a test on this later. Okay, this is shifting gears a bit. This is sort of a Pittsburgh poem. It's a Jack Gilbert poem, whom I had a long infatuation with most recently. This is called Copybook. Because the day's grayness as yet has no shape, because resting form from this morning will require much heavy lifting, more than I have the heart or muscle for, because I see in these lines something sinuous and hard, a rigor I have come to admire even in my ignorance of its workings. Because I have, like dried beans or lentils, little flavor of my own, but benefit from strong company. Have you been spending time with Kathy Regan again, my mother would say, noting her distinctive rhythms marking my monkey ear speech? And finally, perhaps, because I love their somber sadness in my mouth, I take up my pen and notebook to copy, not imitate, not play with, not take as a point of departure, but rather record, whole, moving solemnly down my page, the poems of Jack Gilbert's Refusing Heaven. A certain way of paying attention, a caress that lingers with the slowness love requires. This was written still kind of in the glow of Jack Gilbert. It's called Hereafter. You didn't expect to live even this long. Not that you wake every morning thanking someone for your days. They are simply days. Cold in the house in winter, summer rain on the roof. But this passion, so naked, unexpected, wasn't this worth staying for? Our future's behind us. Our pasts dissolved into the skin of our being. We hold only this moment, an ocean. I'm inhabited by your future absence. I wonder if that's what love means. Were I younger, it would mean I'll be leaving soon. But now, at this hour, when you love me all night, there's no need to play at darkness. We are bearing down on heaven, a tangle of souls, with green days growing thin, I don't flinch. Keep going. Okay. This is a short one. It's called Rain or No Rain. Far from the city, the past reappears. The fireflies are high. Rain or no rain, I've forgotten. We stop talking. A three-legged deer roams the field's edge, a regular visitor to this place whose language will slowly come back to me. The grammar of its silence, its difficult rules. Okay, a couple years ago I read here, I think Michael was reading, not that same night, but at that same period in time when the Penguins were in the Stanley Cup Finals, and there were hundreds of people on the other side of this wall just screaming to beat all hell, and I thought, oh my God, what do I have that's loud enough to stand up to that? And so I had to write myself a hockey poem just for the occasion, and I keep waiting, you know, for them to be in the finals again so I can, like, send it to the Post-Gazette, and they haven't quite made it every year, but I'm going to read it here anyway because someone is in the Stanley Cup Finals. And so this is called "On Reading Poetry in the Back Room of Hemingway's Bar on Game 6 Night of the Stanley Cup Finals." In poetry as in hockey, we are playing the body, circling through white space, rushing the blue line, trying to slip some round hard truth into the net ahead of all defenses. In poetry, as in hockey, we are seduced by violence, slamming into the boards, shooting, going for the kill, charged by the power of play. In poetry, as in hockey, players quest for the grail, so heavy, they say, until you lift it. The trophy, a necrophy, engraved with generations of names most forgotten. But in poetry, as in hockey, the dream of the arena begins on the mad, hard rivers of our youth. Cold nights of quiet, save for the rasp and the scratch of metal blade, wooden stick, laboring breath. Okay, I have one more. It's called "Death Opened the Space." Death opened the space where we could live. From the musk of rot and ferment, green juices poured. What is earth? Who is sky or water? Do we nourish each other? Or are we ourselves fed together from some swollen pollen carried on the wind, whose otherworldly dust has made us unrecognizable to ourselves, soft and open, new. Knew it all along, new.